Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast, a podcast about lesser-known music by lesser-known artists that we believe are as good, if not better than that, in the mainstream. We are an entertaining podcast with banter and chatting and music. We have guests and hosts. We don't have any guests this week, unfortunately. Just myself, Richie, and Ema.
Hello.
As I stated before, we are a podcast about lesser-known music by lesser-known artist. For example, the piece of music you can hear behind me currently and today's introduction music is Canadian artist Tepno with his track Higher Than This. All of the information pertaining to Tepno can be found within the show notes.
I'll be on my way. If you feel it's done, we'll go higher than this.
There with his track Higher Than This. I was getting some beautiful summer vibes from that, Ema. Hi,
nice.
Ema.
Nice. Hello, Richie. How are you doing today?
Absolutely fan-dabbly-dozy. Thank you very much for asking.
not to toot our own horns, but I really like this intro.
Really good, wasn't it? It was suggested earlier that maybe the intro was too long and that I should bring the music down and speak over it. But I feel rude speaking over the start of the music, let alone the end. And it's about listening to the music anyway, so fuck it. You can listen to the whole song and it was beautiful. Really liked it.
Oh, awesome. I had pictures of slow motion dancing in a rave with purple lights.
I was getting that, but on the beach.
Oh, even better.
Yeah. Wow. I do miss those times.
Oh, I do indeed.
No, you don't. You live next to the beach. It probably happens every day for you.
Yeah, but there's no raves on the beach. It's cold.
No, I suppose not.
It's full of old people.
Okay. Yeah, like that. Check him out. I'll leave his information in the show notes. So, Emma, what's new? What's new with you? What have you been doing this week?
This week? I enjoyed the long weekend. I did indeed. I did. although it was raining for half of it, so I'm getting better at roller skating, which is very exciting news, and I am impatiently waiting for this pandemic to lift so I can do more than roller skating.
Blading. How about you, Rishi? Rollerblading I used to do.
Oh yeah?
Rollerblading and skateboarding back in the day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Too good at skateboarding, but more cruising.
It doesn't fit your style, does it, skateboarding?
I'm scared of doing tricks because I'm nervous about my ankles when they get clipped. I'm like,
oh. They are important.
Yeah, that's the thing. Need ankles. Reference to Hollow Ankles, who we had last week, actually. Nice. Full circle. I also decided to do a little... Oh, I never asked how your week was. How was your week?
My week's been... I mean, to be fair, it's Tuesday, so it's only just started. But
oh my God, it's only Tuesday?
From last week to this week, it's okay, pretty... uneventful, really. Not much happened. Nice. I got absolutely tanked the weekend. Got absolutely disgusting with some friends, but other than that.
Nice. That'll be me on Friday. We have a nice field picked out because that's what it is to be in your mid-20s these days.
You had a nice what picked out?
A field, yeah. A nice field.
You had a nice field picked out.
We don't have pubs or anything, so.
Are they all still closed?
Oh, yeah, still closed.
It's an interesting thing we've got over here. We've got you can't go inside. So they've put these big gazebo type things with.
Nice.
So it's like indoors, outdoors.
Oh, so fun. I think we'll have them in June, but so just hanging on till then. Oh, may the 4th be with you.
Yeah, may the 4th be recording. With me also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was doing a little bit of digging. About the month of May. And now I realize that I was looking up April. So let's talk about April this month because I forgot that it was May. Wow. I call that preparation. I prepared for a week. So we're going to go with April 9th to the 10th.
Go for it.
All right. So,
in fact, you know what you could have done? You could have said that it was May the whatever to whatever, and nobody would have known because they wouldn't have bothered to check it.
That's true. From April, mid-April to May, there was a time between that this time that this happened, a trip down the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame memory lane, or the Hall of Fame memory lane, maybe just a trip.
Wow.
Some pretty cool stuff happened, actually. Well, some pretty big news. 1954, Bill Haley and the Comets recorded Rock Around the Clock, unknowingly kicking off the rock era. So that's a pretty big deal.
Is that what happened there? Was it that song?
Yeah. Apparently that was kind of like the first of the rock and roll. That's what This Day in Music has said anyway.
Okay.
My sources tell me that this is a fact, and I read it on the internet, so, you know, no one lies on the internet. 1970, Paul McCartney quit the Beatles.
No shit.
Yeah. Never actually thought about that actually happening. Like, yeah, he would have made an announcement and everything.
I thought it was John Lennon that quit the Beatles first because of Yoko Ono.
Well, the week of April 9th to the 10th in 1970, says Paul McCartney. And okay. I read my sources, so thank you. In 1970, also in 1970, the Doors singer Jim Morrison was dragged off stage by keyboardist Ray Manzarek during a concert in Boston after Morrison asked the audience, "Would you like to see my genitals?" Theater management quickly switched off the power. Rude.
Yeah, absolutely. If a man wants to show his genitals to the public.
Right? I mean, like, there shouldn't be any law against that or anything. That doesn't sound illegal. And also, I thought that this was pretty cool. So, more recent history, I suppose. 2007, two pretty big things happened in 2007. iTunes Music Store reached 2.5 billion songs sold. And Apple announced it had sold 100th million iPod.
Oh, right.
The collapse of an industry and the birth of a new one for specific people.
Some would say that it was a birth of a good industry. Some would say it wasn't. It's
true. Depends.
Changed the industry completely forever, that did, didn't it?
For sure. Yeah. No going back from there.
The charts and everything yeah. changed, yeah.
Streaming. Well, that was probably before streaming, but...
It
that
was before streaming, but it probably led to it, yeah.
So that's a little trip down. Oh, also, 1988, Cher won the Best Actress Oscar for her role in Moonstruck.
Oh, no one really cares about it. You could have left that one out. Actually,
this is my point. This is actually why I brought it, because so far, this is the first fact about a woman that I've seen.
Really?
Yep.
That says something about the website you're using, I think.
I suppose. Maybe I have to stretch out my sources. My sources are lying. Oh no. I was just like, I want to try and make an effort to say something about women in history.
So, yeah, do you want to take it away with your first artist, Emar?
Yes, I do, absolutely. This week, I am very delighted to bring Edith with her song Paradise.
My heart is so bad.
So that was Paradise by Edith, and this was actually a collaboration by Edith Foxglove and Cot Jen Johnson of Marpit, a specially commissioned track put out to celebrate Did Miswig Kind Welsh Language Music Day on the 5th of February 2021. And yeah, I just thought this was absolutely awesome. Edith is a 23-year-old music producer, glitch maker, and soul singer. And spelled E-A-D-Y-T-H. And Paradise is spelled P-A-R-A-D-W-Y-S. I thought this was awesome. Great tonal palette. It's just like very hypnotic. Super, super cool. What do you think, Richie?
Did you say glitch? Was it?
Yeah, so I'm guessing that's like a genre of music or something.
Yeah,
Glitchmaker
sounds interesting. I might have to check that out.
Yeah,
this it's got a blend of different genres in there. Well, say genres, decades. This I was getting some 80s from it. I was feeling like a bit of a Banana Armour vibe. It's like it's hidden quite deep. You have to look. You have to dig quite deep to get it, but I was getting the fit, like Banana Armour type 80s feeling. But the start and some of the points, I was getting like an Egyptian type feel from the music.
Yeah,
like the swirling sands of Egypt, and like that mummy type film type thing. Yeah. I'm just rambling a bit, but yeah,
the notes.
It's kind of like the ethereal nature of the music. It took me to, kind of like an Eastern vibe. Beat was, I like the beat, it's got kind of dubstepy. That was, I like it. There's two different types of music. You got layered music and you got composed music, and this isn't composed, this was layered. It's kind of like you've got your beat and then you type in your initial beat and then you loop it, then you'll put something else over the top and then you'll loop that over the top and then you do something else and loop that over the top, and it's not like composed where it's changing a lot. It's pretty much the same thing all the way through. They'll just keep adding to it as they go, as the tune progresses type thing, which is okay. I like it, it's fine for EDM because all you want is a good tune and a good beat, and if you keep adding to it, you get that progression, which is nice. But you don't get many people compose a nice piece of EDM, unfortunately. Unless you can prove me wrong.
That sounds like a challenge, and I'm not sure if I'm going to... I don't know what I'm about to do. No, I'm joking. That does sound like a challenge. That's an interesting thing to have put out there, and now I'm thinking about it. And yeah. How would you compose EDM? Do you think it would be more kind of like classically done? Or
you'd have to
more...
be classically done, but you'd have to think completely outside the box, wouldn't you? You'd have to think classically, but with an electro vibe, with an electric bass, electric beats. But
do you mean kind of like more structure?
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what I mean. What's her name? Ali Comerford. If you're listening to this, compose an electronic piece of electronic piece of classical music.
Do it.
EDM style. Absolutely rambling tonight, I am.
Same.
I love the haunting vocals in this. Very nice. Yeah.
Stunning. But
yeah, lovely piece of music. Enjoyed it. I would stick this on my playlist.
Yes.
It's also getting a bit of a summer vibe from this as well.
Yeah, true. I feel like you're just like on such a summer buzz right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do get that though. It's like fresh and it's like, ooh, like I want to go out and do something in the sun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I love this piece. Yeah, just get lost in it.
Yeah. So my piece, Emma, if I might.
You may.
I might. Is London's Split the Dealer with their song Dream State.
Screens, there's a glass half empty in a house with a mirror in it. Tell me what you see, or tell me what you want to. I can fix it with a filter feeling. We're not really free. There's so much pressure weighing heavily. I'm barely breathing. Maybe I should leave. Try and find a crown in my own damn kingdom. Cause I'm so sick of it, feeling so unachieved. And this damn wilderness won't let me rest. Always go the wrong way, still think about it in my sleep. I'm in everybody's doorway, but I can't find my keys. Maybe I should do it your way. Seems to have a time fight. But the scars under your skin probably look like mine. Emotionless, kick it with a joker's kiss. Lying on a bed, comparing scars for the innocent. Time for the biggest twist. People you thought limitless are living in a spirit. Packing punches with us, hypocrites, vigorous. Door to door, we seek rapport. Trying to find rewards in our vanity. But the truth is, everybody's flawed. So pick up the pieces and crush all the third degree. Cause I'm so sick of it, feeling so unachieved. And this time wilderness won't let me break. Who's gonna go?
So that was I've just lost the fucking, what the hell happened then? Wow. I got a pen and there's a spring obviously within the pen. I just pressed it and it just flung off and
goodbye.
Oh well. Anyway, where was I? So that was Split the Dealer with Dream State. Didn't really say much about them. Dream State is a 3.5 minutes. It's 3.5 minutes of euphoric and anarchic indie pop that marks Split the Dealer as Jamie T for the Instagram generation. This latest offering acting as a reminder that not all is what it seems on social media. Like this a lot. There's not really much to take apart on it. It's just a great song. It's kind of a bit of a throwback. This is a nostalgic piece for me. It takes me back to the 90s. It's got a bit of a... reminds me of Lenny Kravitz. It's got, you know, I don't think that's the song Teenage Kicks. And Easy Good, that kind of music, that kind of era. Mm-hmm. But yeah, takes me back to then, which isn't a bad thing, you know. It still feels quite fresh, and I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I'd imagine this would be brilliant live in the summer.
Yes.
On a summer stage.
Vibe. Absolutely.
Be amazing.
Yeah.
I do like the ethereal middle eight. I'm using the word ethereal a lot tonight.
Yeah, spicy. Or épicé, as they say in French.
It's kind of like a build-up at the end of the middle eight. It's like that. It's like, let's go mad.
Yeah, I'd call that ethereal, per se.
It was ethereal. It was ethereal, but then it went...
elevated. Yeah. That was cool. It brought it. It took it home, really. Like, it was like, it's cool. Yeah, very like it. I wouldn't say Instagram generation. I'd say more Skins generation. Do you ever watch Skins?
Yes, I loved Skins. Yeah,
I feel like it'd be great on an episode of Skins. Really cool. Yeah, very nostalgic, very summery. And also, I really like their chord progression because whatever the dun 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 dun, like I wasn't expecting that to be that like minor-y chord, so that was very cool. What they did there is like, I think that's what kept it fresh.
I didn't really think about it, but yeah, it's got minor chords. But they're minor chords.
I don't know what it was. It was like,
yeah.
But then it was like down the half tone rather than the then resolving. It was cool.
Yes. Very nice. Very good tune.
Perhaps it's Mixolydian. I don't know.
You were able to take it apart more than I was. But yes, it's definitely check them out. In the show notes, you'll find the links. And they were at Track of the Day last week as well, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, they were, yeah. So check them out.
Do it.
In the meantime, should we move on to our next part?
Yes, sir.
It's part of the show.
Oh, well.
It is the wild card. What's the wild card, Emma? Do you want to tell everybody what the wild card is?
The wild card is the wildest part of the show where we flick through the emails and select one random song that has been submitted.
Did you just stick an R in flick and an R in select?
Select. From a rambunctious
very random
selection of tunes. It belongs everywhere.
So what she said in English was, we just pick a random tune from the emails.
That's it.
Yeah.
But where's the dramatic flair, Richie?
yeah, sorry. I don't know what I was thinking.
God.
I've changed the cover photo on Facebook, finally.
Ooh.
And Twitter. Did you notice?
I didn't. I'm excited. I'm going to check that out.
It's not very good. I couldn't think what to do. I honestly couldn't think what to do. It's not very good. If anybody out there is listening, you're like an artist or something, you want to do a cover for our Facebook and our Twitter, knock yourself out because mine's shit.
Oh, it's so cute. Yeah, calling all graphic designers immediately.
Fuck I wish you, I could man.
Show this. No, no, it's beautiful. I love it. I love it.
Why do you make me feel shit?
No, it's so good. And also, I'm glad to finally be on the picture, so that's great. Just me with my sage. You know, the sage.
I didn't know what to use because you got a lot of like the pictures I like. You, I can't choose because she just looks very sultry in them, and it's just
fair.
You need something maybe smiling or laughing, and
yeah,
that one. Seemed...
I love it. I'm honestly a big fan of this.
Really,
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Okay, it'll do. I'm trying to find a picture of Wayne. Christ, I just couldn't find one.
You can just tell who made this by looking at it. That is fantastic. I love this. I want it on a t-shirt.
Oh, that can be done.
Ah, let's do it.
I don't think I could see myself walking around in my own face. That face. Oh my shit.
Everyone listening, I would highly recommend looking. It's at YHHTMPC on Facebook and Twitter. Amazing. So let's get to this wild card. Back to business.
Oh yeah, we were doing that, weren't we?
We were.
Okay, I'm flicking through the emails. I'm flicking through them. Say stop whenever.
Stop.
Okay. We have Fleur Rouge with her song Game Boy. This has been sent to us by Pufferfish Press, a PR company. Hey guys, hope you're well. I'm getting in touch today with the new single from Manchester's Fleur Rouge, building on the back of previous singles while showcasing an altogether popular side to the singer. It's her first release of 2021 and a welcome return. Fleur is available for features, blah, blah, blah. Have we got anything about her? Fleur French And that's not what it says. It says half French and half English, Manchester-based by way of London, Fleur Rouge was always going to stand out from her northern contemporaries. Indeed, while many of the city's artists and bands are vying for a place in the annals.
In the what?
In the annals of Manc music, for fuck's sake. Manc music, Fleur opts instead for something chice. Is it?
He's struggling.
It's just not spelling it right. C-H-I-C-E-R. Chica.
Christ.
I think that's just a spell. There's a few spelling mistakes. And more effort. Anyway, I'm trying to get something from it so we can get a picture of it before we play it, so we can say, what do you think it's going to sound like?
Oh.
So I haven't actually listened to it either, so we have, yeah. Yeah, I'm not really getting much from this. Game Boy is a song inspired by all the wrong guys I've previously dated, she explains. It touches on a typical game, on the typical games played during any unrequited love situation. He actually spelled that correct as well.
So that's just you.
What are you expecting from this, Ema? What are you expecting?
I'm expecting indie Dua Lipa-esque, but with that indie glitchy kind of retro vibe sound. Maybe some sassy lyrics, a little bit upbeat. Like, we're crying, but we're having fun.
Yeah.
What about you?
It's just a bit of electro, contemporary electric pop, a bit like what I brought last week, I think, for the for my song.
Yeah.
Who was she? Emmy. Ernie.
That's a great song.
Ernie.
Yeah.
you know what I'm on about.
Emmy.
Something like that. It's just a bit of pop, maybe a bit like Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting. Maybe quite a little bit dark. Who knows? Let's have a listen and find out.
Just a bee. Caught you on Bumble, oh lucky me. Made a mistake, at least I was honest, honest, honest. Wait, yeah, we had a buzz, is that what that was? I know you said you forgave me, but your actions were kinda shady. I guess you kinda hate me. Oh, you did me wrong. No, you didn't mean it. I just went along. The way you pull me in to push me back out. You got some nerve thinking I'ma stick around. Cause I know all of your movements. Stop lying now, boy, it's useless. You made me question every move that I made. And made me act like my emotions were fake. Oh, you're such a game boy. Oh, you're such a game boy. Finding it hard to get it all out when I'm with you, yeah. Left me on red to keep me around. Wasn't cool. Is it me? Is it you? Or can we just talk this through? Yeah. You put her feelings right before mine and said it was the wrong time. Oh, you did me wrong. No, you didn't mean it. I just went along. Ready to have a feeling. Push me back out. You got some nerve thinking I'ma stick around. Cause I know all of your movements. Stop lying now, boy, it's useless. You made me question every move that I made. And made me act like my emotions were fake. Oh, you're such a game boy. Oh, you're such a game boy. I started acting out cause you were acting strange and never around. You told me to chill, I couldn't feel anything else but the doubt. So then you tried to spin it off with words so you could shift the blame. And made me out like I was just insane. Game boy. The way you pull me in to push me back out.
You got some nothing, can I stick around? Cause I know all of your movements. Stop lying now, boy, it's useless. You made me question every move that I made, and made me act like my emotions were fake. Oh, you're such a game boy. Oh, you're such a game boy.
Pretty much what I expected, I think.
Yeah, I think we were right on the money with that one.
Sure, cool. It was good.
Yeah, bit of pop. I like it.
Great. Wasn't bad at all. Nicely produced.
Very well produced.
I don't really know what else to say about it. I love the bass.
Yeah, it's fab. And I love that glitchy thing. And it's a good concept too. Get such a game boy. It's cool. It's going to be stuck in my head for a while.
Check her out in the show notes. You'll find all the links. And the likes.
Great.
I think we've done Ema.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I think that's it. I've got that very artist of the week now. My interview with our artist of the week. Our artist of the week is Georgia Train from the, I want to say band, but they're a duo, Bitter Ruin. So, yeah, I'll be chatting with her in this. So, yeah, check. Stick around for that. But in the meantime, we're going to go now. So, I've been Richie.
I've been Emer.
Thank you for listening.
If indeed you still are.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I think it was probably about 5 years ago. I want to say 2015. I saw you at the Institute in Birmingham.
You were
supporting Amanda Palmer. But yeah, my main takeaway from that night, as much as I love Amanda Palmer and her work, were you guys. It was something new. It was kind of an experience because I was unfamiliar at that time with your kind of music. I mean, you can call it alternative, but it was just something I'd never experienced before. It's like your music, as good as it is, you're still going to get your critics, but because music's subjective. But there was something about hello, thanks for coming. But there was something about the way your music was constructed, the way you. There's almost a craftsmanship around your songwriting that I'd never come across before. So even if a person didn't like your music or whatever, that you can't take away from the craftsmanship. You still have to admire the way everything was constructed, the layering of the vocals, the way it was written. I mean, I'd never up until then come across that kind of songwriting. And to be able to put... I'm not coming across very eloquent at the moment, but I'm coming across like a bit of a fanboy.
I love it. Don't worry.
But yeah, it was just, and I've got my son. He's not helping. So sorry, but yeah, it was absolutely amazing. With Bitter Ruin, was it like a joint effort with the songwriting, or was it mainly one sided?
Yeah.
Because when I listen to your work now, your work's beautiful. Now, I've been listening to your album, well, a couple of your albums all week, but it's a million miles away from what you did with Bitter Ruin.
Yeah. So, first of all, Ben and I, when we got together initially, it was quite 50-50. So, you know, Ben would write two songs, I would write two songs, and, you know, it was split. But as the years went on, I ended up basically just having more time to songwrite than Ben did. So I was extremely passionate about songwriting and extremely passionate about being disciplined with songwriting. So I would probably write like 10 songs a week at some points. And Ben just naturally was, as much as he's a great musician, he just wasn't, he wasn't as interested maybe in the songwriting or whatever. So I did gravitate to kind of becoming the songwriter. I mean, a lot of the songs that Ben and I did together, I wrote before I even knew Ben, or I wrote them, you know, at a piano, and then I would bring it to Ben and say, like, what do you think of this? And, you know, so it was, I would say in the end, it was like 75% my songwriting, 25% Ben's.
Okay. So what you're doing at the moment, is it like, because it's hard to put bitter ruin into a genre. So what you're doing at the moment, would you say it was a conscious decision to move away from that style of writing, or is it just something that's naturally progressed?
No, it's definitely conscious, because, you know, the thing is about Bitter Ruin, like, we started that band when I was 19.
Really?
And so I am now 33. And to be honest, I think if I was making the same music, then that would be a bad sign. But I listen back to it, and as much as I love elements of it, and I love the playfulness of it and the drama of it, I'm a really different person in terms of my attitude towards a lot of the messages that we kind of projected in the band. I'm a different singer as well. I feel like I have, I've chosen the parts of my instrument that I wish to keep, and I've eliminated certain parts that I don't wish to keep. And just like any musician will tell you, like, the minute you stop developing and the minute you just start repeating what you've done before, like, music is dead. Like, it is so important to do something fresh. And I think for me, like, towards the end of the band, like around 2015, I started to become a little bit ashamed of some of the songs, and a little bit like embarrassed of some of the material, some of the lyrical content. And you know, it served its purpose, it had its time, and it still serves its purpose for you know, a lot of the fans, and I love that. But for me as a person, like, my outlook on life had changed a little bit, and my thinking, I worked really hard to therapize myself and educate myself and sort of step away from a lot of my demons. And so it didn't really make sense for me to write about all of those demons anymore. So my music has become a lot less angry. I wouldn't say that there's no anger in it at all, especially on this new album. There is anger, but it's a different type of anger. I want to say that it's not, you know, it's not acting out. A lot of the Bitter Ruin stuff was an act. It was like, I'm going to be this spoiled little shouting girl, kind of spatting off sort of slightly punkish, slightly kind of, spoiled brat kind of stuff. And that was part of the character. And I think it very much, like, it was a character, and it was a character that worked when I was bouncing off of Ben. And I don't think it works for me as a solo artist, because it's not genuinely who I am. And what I'm doing now feels currently like it's me. And again, I'm not saying that in 3 years' time I won't be embarrassed of the album I'm creating now. Of course I will. I'll move on and I'll change. But right now, for me, it would feel pretty weird to be creating the same sort of sounds.
That's good though. I think evolution's a good thing. There are some people who get stuck in the ways. You get artists who sound 20 years later the same as they did when they started. So, you know, progression's a good thing if you've done it consciously as well. That's probably even better, because a lot of people don't like to move. So
I feel like as well, when I was in Bitter Ruin, you know, that was my first kind of real band, real musical project. And I guess I was trying to prove myself all the time. I was also at music university, music school, and I was surrounded by a cohort of musicians, and each one of us was trying to, like, next level up on the person next to us, and like show off our musicianship and show that we could use a certain mode and, you know, then switch to a different time signature. It was very, like, it was very nerdy. It was very geeky. And I think I've just simmered down a bit and realized that it's not always about just being like the most outlandish person you can be, or the most weird song. You know, just because something's weird doesn't make it good and doesn't make it good to listen to. And I think I'm one of the things that I'm focusing on more, well, with I Do Definitely, which was the last album, the acoustic album, I was focusing on what I think is really pleasing and satisfying to listen to. And that's something very different to what Bitter Ruin was doing. Bitter Ruin wanted to be edgy and angular and spiky, and kind of stand out from a crowd. And I'm using the same amount of passion and drive to create something really interesting, but my objective is different. My objective is to please the audience and to kind of lull the audience into a lullaby kind of, peaceful state, with sadness behind it, with this kind of like longing, yearning feeling. And it's like the feeling is different, but the passion to create something is still there, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. I mean, basically, Bitter Ruin was kind of like a learning curve for you. It was the starting place to where you are now, if you like. But I don't know, you talk about Bitter Ruin like it almost comes across like you see it as a bit of a, not, I don't want to say mistake, but it feels like something that, again, you obviously don't resent it because it's helped you get to where you are, but you definitely didn't. You say you look at it now, you want to please the crowd. When I was there and I saw you for the first time, you absolutely pleased me. I'd never come across songwriting like it. It was amazing. I think it was Trust, the song Trust, the way you layered the vocals and you did it live. It wasn't just on an album and you spent ages trying to get it down on a recording. You did it live. That was phenomenal. And as a vocalist, you're obviously a phenomenal vocalist. And Bitter Ruin, I think, as good as you are, and you are an amazing vocalist, you've got like the voice of a thousand angels, but you can tell that the band helped you push those vocals to the very limit.
I mean, I definitely, when I was in the band, I mean, that's kind of what I was referring to, though, I guess, when I was talking about being at music school and being in a cohort of like trying to like outdo your peers, is that I was trying constantly to write songs that would achieve the notes of Aretha Franklin and the sustain of Whitney Houston, and the kind of, you know, the character of Kate Bush. I was trying, because I was studying all of the greats of vocals, and so I was trying and experimenting with my voice and kind of, you know, challenging myself to become a better singer as I was writing. And I think when I say that I want to please, because I think you almost, if I dare, like you almost misquoted me a little bit when you said that I'm trying to please an audience, because that's definitely not what I'm doing. What I mean is the sound that I want to achieve is something that I would find pleasing. So when I listen to something like Laura Marling, I am transported into a world that I would say is pleasing. When I listen to an artist like St. Vincent or Björk, I am transported into a world where I'm never settled and I feel like something could jar at any moment or I could fall off a cliff edge at any moment. And I think that's what Bitter Ruin was. And this is my like, or last year anyway, was my like, maybe my Laura Marling kind of like, I want to be a little bit smoother. And I want to, it's just what I fancied doing that year. But for any Bitter Ruin fans watching, I think they're going to get a bit more of the spikiness in this next album. It's coming back. There's a different objective with this album. So 2020 was about kind of softly, smoothly, lulling people into this sort of place of lush kind of like sort of swimming down a river, or down some sort of sonic river. And this year, 2021, is kind of back to the angular stuff. It's back to the jarring, really powerful vocal stuff. Top of the range, on the extreme part of my range, you know, where physically I probably shouldn't be singing, because it's probably really going to damage my voice, you know, but it requires it because the emotion of the song requires it. So we're definitely heading back now, in a way. So it's interesting. I wouldn't say I'm embarrassed. I wouldn't say that I look, well, I would, because I said that before. I'm embarrassed of some of the songwriting, but that's natural. I wouldn't say that I look back on Bitter Ruin with any kind of disdain or as a mistake. But what I would say is that it's just not, I've done that. That was a project. In a way, it was a fantastic, brilliant band, but it was also a finite project. And I think with songs like Trust and songs like Child in a Sea Cave a couple of other sort of standout ones that we had, I do think that they would have had their time. Like, I don't think we can keep creating songs like that. You can't, Queen can't keep writing Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, but once they've done that and everybody goes, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard, it puts Freddie Mercury in a position where it's like, well, is that what people want? Is that what I've got to try and do now? Am I up here and is there anywhere to go? And I think that's how I felt about Bitter Ruin, is that from a writing perspective, it was like, well, people want the quirky stuff, but quirky isn't quirky if you just keep repeating it. Do you know what I mean?
It becomes the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a difficult one as well, because you've got to kind of find a balance between pleasing the crowd and doing music for the sole reason why you started doing it in the first place, and that's because you loved it. And if you're doing it not for you but for them, it suddenly becomes a job, and a job you're not really enjoying.
Totally.
With the latest stuff that you've done, I've noticed how, so like you say, when you were younger, you're trying to prove yourself and you were going all out, and you I suppose now you say I do see that, because like I said, you were pushing your vocals to the limits. With this, you can still hear those perfect vocals, but it's kind of more subtle and it's more elegant. It's like your vibrato in the most recent stuff. It's there, but it's subtle and elegant. And I struggle with vibrato when it's overdone. I struggle with it anyway. I sometimes find it unnecessary. Mm-hmm. But in the music that I've listened to recently off you, it's beautiful.
Oh, and thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of understated, and I think that's how it should be.
Yeah, I think subtle is a really good word for the stuff that I put out in 2020. I think that's because the other thing as well to remember about that album is that there were limitations, physical recording limitations with that album. So, for example, I didn't have a great mic. I didn't have a great studio. I was recording it, producing it all myself. And actually, I think it would have been a bit, stupid of me to try and record something massive and kind of, really experimental, because I didn't have the facilities to do that. And I'm not the producer that I would hire to do that. Because it was recorded in the pandemic, and because it was like a dipping my toe back in the waters album as well. It wasn't supposed to be a huge statement. There was no campaign behind it or no money behind it, anything like that. So I feel like I was doing the whole thing gently. And I think that's reflected in the vocal performance, in that it's like, okay, equally, do you know what? I just wanted to do something that I enjoyed. And what I'm really enjoying at the moment, or was of the moment, were beautiful sounding vocals. So I have phases where I go through, you know, I love aggressive, gritty, powerful, like real powerhouse vocals. And then I go, okay, I kind of just need something soulful now, or I need something folky and kind of or like almost spoken, like speech quality. And that's just because I'm constantly like hungry for the next interesting voice. So at that particular time, I was using my voice in a softer, more subtle, but I like that you've picked up on a few of the nuances as well, because technically, you could say, this is what I would say, what I was aiming for is it was classier. I was aiming to do a classier delivery equally with some of these songs, these Bitter Ruin songs that I'm just re-releasing. Like, I wanted to sing them as an adult would sing them now. I feel like I was a child singing them back then, and now releasing them again, I'm like, okay, so what would an adult's take on this scenario be? And it would be, you know, you'd take a breath before you ran into an argument. And that's literally what I'm doing with the vocal delivery, is just taking a breath and sitting back and going, okay, but this is what calm Georgia Train sounds like. And actually, this is what mature adult Georgia Train sounds like.
Okay, yeah, I get that. I do love it a lot. Well, what your retake on it, I think it's brilliant, and I think it is. You've absolutely smashed it out of the park with what you wanted to achieve. And I'm not going to say it's better than the original, because
it can't.
No, I'm not saying it's worse either. I think it's a perfect adaptation, and especially for the time and where you are now. I think you did exactly what you needed to do, and I think you did it. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, and equally, like, just playing these again on piano is so nice to do. You know, I haven't had an opportunity to really, when I was in the band, I never really had an opportunity to work on me as a pianist and kind of, you know, show that, like, actually these are where the songs originated. The songs that I've chosen to re-release again, they all were written on piano. And it gives it such a different sound and such a different feel.
So
it's nice to do that.
It says something, I think it's good, because it says something about the music today. A lot of the music today that you hear, especially commercially, people have sat down, they've created a song probably from bare bones, the same as yourself, and then they've just gone into a DAW and they've got every single effect and everything they can, whereas you can still produce stripped back beautiful music with just a piano and a good voice, and I don't think there's enough of that anymore.
No, there definitely isn't, and not in a world of Spotify algorithms and constantly trying to, you know, be the biggest song, biggest sounding song. I mean, you know, it's all overstated. Everything has to be huge. And I don't know, I think I was going through a bit of an insular, intimate phase, and that's just how it came out. I didn't want to be huge, but the next album's going to be huge.
So when are you looking to release that next album?
Well, it's really difficult to say, because I want to do it justice in terms of getting it out to as many people as possible. And so I will be looking for maybe someone to help with the PR, someone to help with the management or the release, a label to help me with it. But that might not happen. You know, I might not find the right people. I might not be able to get a deal of some kind. So basically, if I can get a deal, then I think everything changes, because I will be very much under their timeline. So if I don't get a deal, I would like to have it out by September.
Okay, that's quite soon.
Yeah. So the only reason for delaying it would be if I felt like there was a big, like label or manager behind me that was like, no, delay it for 6 months and I swear to you it'll be massive. You know, that's the only, but I doubt that's going to happen.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, you've got your new stuff out on Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. Which we're looking at now, The Things I Let Die, Volume 1. So is it going to be Volume 2 of the new album?
Yeah. No. There's going to be a Things I Let Die Volume 2, which will be Bitter Ruin covers again. And then, okay. Yeah. And then the album will have a name of its own, but I don't know what that is yet. I haven't decided. So, yeah, the album's going to be something completely different.
Our listeners, I urge you to go over to Bandcamp. If you like the music, I always say this, if you like the music, and I'm sure you will, buy the music, support independent artists. Yeah, which is something you said to me the night at the gig, because one thing I said to you is your music on Spotify? And you said, it is. but we don't make money on Spotify. So we got your CD, and it was signed, and it's about somewhere. I'd like to say I've got the hand, but I haven't, but I've still got it.
Amazing.
Yeah. So yeah,
I've got issues with Spotify, as have I.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, it is getting to the point now where a lot of artists are quite scared to speak out about it. And, you know, that is terrifying because we shouldn't have gatekeepers like that. But at the same time, you know, I have put this stuff out on Spotify. My music is available there, and Bitter Ruin stuff is available there. But what I like to do is just put a select few tracks on Spotify rather than everything, because I feel like, you know, first of all, I just want to retain a little bit of my own kind of musical dignity. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, first of all, I do have morals, and I do have reasons why I don't like Spotify that I've got to stand by my morals to some degree, but equally I've got to stand by the music, and there is a certain way that I want people to listen to my music, and that's part of me as an artist. Like, I'm gonna think it's really important that this next album, like, it's got to be listened to as a whole, and it's got to be listened to on headphones and with good quality, you know, good quality audio. And I just think I respect my work, and I'd rather that people heard it properly or not at all, really.
No, that's fair. I absolutely agree. I big issues with Spotify. Don't get me wrong, I know it has its benefits, you know, because anybody can get the music out there now, and anybody can get listened to, whereas before, back in the day, to get heard, you had to gig and you had to sell CDs, otherwise nobody would ever hear your music. Now millions of people have got access to your music all the time. However, I don't think people should... You got artists paying for PR and then paying for this and then paying for that, and I don't think art should pay for itself. If an artist puts a piece of work up in a gallery, that same artist won't go on the street and say, here's £20, come and have a look at my piece of work. It's the same thing for yourself. You shouldn't have to pay for somebody to come and listen to your work. They should pay you. And Spotify is kind of taking that away a bit, and giving it to the people who know the right people in the right places, and have already got the right amount of money, which isn't fair.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I've got all kinds of issues with Spotify, the way that they pay artists, the way that they favoritism, the algorithm, yeah. You know, the actual percentage, and how that's worked out. But, you know, one thing that I just thought about the other day, which it was a bit funny, really, but I've spent more on my Spotify subscription than I've ever made from Spotify. Isn't that terrible?
That's mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
And wow.
You know, when you think about it, and how many artists like me are out there are paying $14.99 a month, and do we make $14.99?
And it's not just Spotify either. I mean, when you look at what you put into your work to produce an album,
yeah,
the quality you're producing it, that's not cheap. No, that's not cheap at all. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you know, this next album that I'm making, we've got real strings, real bass, real piano, real, you know, guitar, obviously. It's like, it's a proper album. It's not digitally made. And when you get people talking about Spotify and saying, oh, yeah, but, you know, you should be releasing a song a week, I'm like, yeah, fine. I can release a song a week. I can do that. But it won't be real instruments. It just won't. Yeah. You're not going to get that for that kind of money and for that kind of time. It's and that's where you really have to start saying, well, look, there is a difference between art that is produced with real instruments and synthetic instruments. And I'm all for synths. Like, this next album has got tons of synths all over it, but it's still got that core of, like, the core of each song is played by a band, you know, and that. To me, that is people creating art together. If you want to talk about production and producers, well, then sure, that's a completely different thing. But what that means is that basically, you know, the only people that Spotify are trying to suggest put put up music are producers, not musicians, right? So is it for musicians or is it for producers? Because sure, like producers have an art themselves and they can create that kind of music and they can do it to great standards, but I can't. I'm not a producer. I'm a singer songwriter and a pianist, and I don't have the facility to be able to make my music that cheaply. So it's, you know, I think anyone that sort of backs Spotify in that way and says that we should be just creating more music, I just think, well, fuck you. Like, you've clearly never tried to make an album. You don't know how much that costs.
Yeah. But it's not just that. I mean, yeah, you can get your producers, and I don't want to say anyone can do it. So I'm not no musician. I can tinker on the piano, and I'm a percussionist and a drummer. That's not a musician. That's somebody who can keep a beat. I'm a glorified metronome is what I am. But if someone gets their work, somebody gets their music produced, like highly produced, they can't do what you do on stage, which is produce exactly what you've put out on CD, put out exactly what you put out on Bandcamp. So when they come to see you, they're going to get what they've heard. Mm-hmm. And if something's massively produced, it's not going to sound like that on stage because you haven't got the instruments. It's just different. It's not the same.
It's not. It's you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, the thing is, like, some music, you can, I'm this next album of mine is going to be massively overproduced, but when I come to play it on a stage, I will still be able to sit at a piano and make it sound good, because that's kind of how it's written, you know. And I think we're in a different world altogether than if we're just talking about creating beats. And by the way, I just want to say, like, I've got no issue with producers that just create beats. And I even hesitate to use the word just there, because I am one of those people who has worked with several of these really talented producers, and I've provided vocals for them. I've provided songwriting for producers for their tracks. And like, I'm all up for, you know, if house music wants to be, you know, the next big thing on Spotify, then that's cool, because guess what? I've written a hell of a lot of vocals over some house music for these DJs, and I love them. Like, they're nice guys, nothing wrong with what they're doing. They're talented in their own field, but it is a different thing. It's just a very different thing to getting in the studio with five other musicians and creating a song from, you know, from waves, from actual waves in the air. You know, it's just a different thing.
Yeah, it's one of those subjects you could talk on for hours, and you could probably get into debates with artists over it. And yeah, but you've managed to keep your integrity, and I think that's the main thing. And I do look forward to the next album. Are we okay to play your song, your remake of Bitter Runes, a brand new me?
Yeah, play whichever one you want.
That's part of the new EP, isn't it?
Yeah.
Album, sorry. Awesome. Georgia, thank you so much for taking this time out. I'm so sorry that we're interrupted, but when you're new, I know PR is a pain in the arse and it's expensive. We're more than happy to have you back, and when you release your next stuff, let us know, and we'll be more than happy to put it out on all of our socials. And yeah, we might be get you back. You'll have to come on the main show sometime and join us as a guest. That'll be fun.
Yeah, oh, I'd love to. Yeah, please. Yeah, I'll let you know. But you'll see me posting about it all over social media pretty soon. As soon as I've got a release date, you'll know about it. It'll be everywhere. Okay.
And yes, you may raise awareness to the damage I'm to mend and what you've done, but I know that you know the truth, and I know that you know come up, it's coming after you. So I will lie defeated here. Though it may take many years, you'll come.
The future will be amazing, and that's all well and good. But what about today? You can feel the rush of a 400-horsepower Nissan Z. Or climb to new heights in the all-terrain Nissan Frontier. Light up the road in the all-electric Nissan Ariya that feels like a sci-fi dream come true. The future will be great, but today is made for thrill. All you have to do is get in a Nissan and drive. 2023 Ariya and Z not yet available for purchase. Expected availability is this spring for 2023 Z and this fall for 2023 Ariya.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.